Open your Bibles to the book of Ezekiel, chapter 18, page 858 in your Scofield Bible. Ezekiel 18, we'll be reading the first four verses. Read the verses responsively. We'll turn to yet another passage after that. Then let's please stand as we always do for the reading of the Word of God. The Word of the Lord came unto me again, saying, What mean ye that ye use this proverb concerning the land of Israel, saying, The fathers have eaten sour grapes, and the children's teeth are set on edge. As I live, saith the Lord God, ye shall not have occasion any more to use this proverb in Israel. Behold, all souls are mine, as the soul of the Father, so also the soul of the Son is mine, the soul that sinneth, it shall die. Turn now to Jeremiah chapter 31, that's page 806 in your Scofield Bible. We'll read just two verses, verses 29 and 30 of Jeremiah 31. Likewise, we'll read these two verses responsively. In those days they shall say no more, the fathers have eaten a sour grape, and the children's teeth are set on edge. But every one shall die for his own iniquity. Every man that eateth the sour grape, his teeth shall be set on edge. And let's pray. Father, sometimes we don't quite understand the value of this book that we hold in our hands. Help us not to take for granted thy word, preserved, eternal. Of course, this church has long stood for the preaching of the word, and we thank you for this great church and for its pattern and faithfulness to the preaching of the Word of God. We pray that you'd bless our preacher tonight. Help us each to give attention as well as if this were the last sermon we were ever to hear. Help us to listen very especially carefully tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. Without your turning to it, let me read for you just one passage. The Word of the Lord came unto me again, saying, What mean ye that ye use this proverb? There's a certain proverb they were using. I'll explain to you after a while the conditions under which they were using this proverb. And this is what it was. The fathers have eaten sour grapes, and the children's teeth are set on edge. I want to speak tonight on the subject, it's not dad's fault. It's not dad's fault. There's nothing any more wicked, godless, and unscriptural than modern psychology that probes into your background to give you an excuse and an out from the fact that you're doing wrong. My Bible says that every man will give an account of himself to God. Every man. Just because your dad chewed tobacco don't mean that you spit too much when you're a kid. Just because you didn't get enough cod liver oil when you were a baby doesn't, you can't blame that on the fact that you got a hot temper. I am almost as upset with medical doctors who almost do the same thing. I want to talk tonight on the subject that is not dad's fault. I want to encourage every person here tonight who's not had the privilege of being reared in a godly home. I want to encourage tonight every person here who is unable because of circumstances to attend a Christian school. I want to encourage tonight every parent here who has an adult child who's broken your heart. Most experts on child rearing have not yet reared their own. I want to encourage you tonight. Some of you parents are sitting here, you think you're failures tonight when you're not failures at all. You're not going to face God over the sins of your children. They're going to face God over their own sins. You'll meet yours, and they'll meet theirs as far as our being punished on earth is concerned. But, of course, we'll never meet them in the eternity because Jesus met them for us on the cross 2,000 years ago. Please listen to me carefully. I want to talk tonight on the subject, it's not Dad's fault. Father, I come tonight to a very vital truth, one that needs to be said and needs to be heard. And so I plan to say it, and I pray you'd burden the people to hear it as I speak on this very, very important subject. Amen. Twice, this statement appears in the Bible. The fathers have eaten sour grapes, and the children's teeth have been set on edge. Let me explain where this was written and about what it was written. The Jews were in captivity. Well, in fact, Jeremiah gave this statement in his 31st chapter, and Ezekiel gave it in his 18th chapter. Jeremiah spoke these words in the days immediately preceding the fall of Jerusalem and the beginning of the captivity. The Jews were being punished for the sins of the nation, and the people were saying, it's Dad's fault. It's Dad's fault. Our fathers ate sour grapes, and now our teeth are set on edge. Then when the Israelites went into captivity, another preacher named Ezekiel, while they were in captivity, suffering the 70-year Babylon captivity, Ezekiel rebuked them for the same thing. This proverb has been used so often as being true, when the truth is, it is not a true proverb. It's not from God. The only times it's mentioned in the Bible, Jeremiah rebuked the Israelites because they used it, and Ezekiel likewise rebuked the Israelites because they used it. The Israelites were excusing their sins because they blamed them on the sins of their fathers. They were saying, we cannot help these sins we commit because we inherited the tendency from our fathers. Or they're saying, we are helpless to resist temptation. We inherited the tendency from our fathers, and we cannot help it. Now, the honest truth is Jeremiah says, before they go into captivity, you will be punished for your own sins, and the soul that sinneth, it shall die. And he says to them, you're going to face your own sins, and you don't have to sin because Daddy did. You may be in Babylon, he said, but because of your fathers, but you don't have to sin in Babylon because of your fathers. And he said again, you may be in Babylon because of your fathers, but you do not have to sin in Babylon because of your fathers. Whether you're in Babylon or wherever you are, you can still live a righteous life, and you're going to give an account for your sins. Your dad's not going to give an account for your sins. You are going to give an account for your own sins. Let me say that this proverb is untrue. Both of these passages are refuting the proverb and telling the Jewish people that they did not sin because their fathers sinned. They sinned because they chose to sin. They may suffer because of the sins of their fathers, but they do not sin because of the sins of their fathers. Every man that eats sour grapes, every man that eats sour grapes, his teeth shall be set on edge. What he's saying is that you will suffer for your own sin, and you will sin because you choose to sin. I'm sick and tired of some of you folks going to these psychiatrists and blaming your dad because of how you turned out. You let me tell you something. Nobody owes you a thing. Let me say it again. Nobody owes you a thing. If you got what you deserve, you'd get the same thing I deserve. We'd burn in hell forever. And the fact that you're going to heaven is by grace, and everything that you have is by grace, and nobody owes you a thing. You quit blaming dad because of what you are. Quit blaming mom because of what you are. Quit blaming your ancestors because of what you are. You are what you are because you have chosen to be what you are. God says, the day will come when I will build the city again. And this proverb will then cease. Jeremiah himself wrote, everyone shall die for his own iniquity.
He is saying this. You can live right if circumstances make it difficult, and you will give an account to God for your own sins. He is saying, I would rather you be in Canaan. But since you are not, you can still live right in Babylon. He would say, I would rather you be reared in a godly home. But if you must live in a godless home, get this, bus kids. If you must live in a godless home, I would rather you... Let me get my hearing aids out, see if that'll help some. I would rather you be reared in a godly home, but if you must live in a godless home, you can resist the sin, and if you do not resist the sin that is given to you or made available to you in your godless home, it is your fault. You cannot blame your environment because you can blame it because of your discomfort, but you cannot blame your environment because of your sin. God is saying, I would rather you not live in the ghetto. I would prefer you not live in the ghetto. But if you must live in the ghetto, you can resist the sin, and if you don't, it is your own fault. A bus kid sat in office less than a month ago and said, I can't help but drink. I can't help but smoke. Because my mom and my dad have drunk and smoked ever since I was born. Let me tell you, bus kid, you're going to give an account of your own sin to God. And the Bible says that you will have a teeth on edge because you have eaten the sour grapes. God is saying, I would rather have you in a Christian school. Now, don't forget that. I'm not advocating folks not having a Christian school tonight. But God is saying, I would rather you be in a Christian school. But if you cannot, if your parents won't let you go to Christian school, you can live for God in the Christian school. And you can resist temptation in the Christian school. And you'll give an account for your sin, even if you're in the Christian school, even if you're not in the Christian school, if your mom and dad require you to go there. What he's saying is this. God is saying, I would rather everybody have a good atmosphere conducive to living for God with as few temptations as possible, but you can live for God regardless of your circumstances. God is saying, I would rather you not have the atmosphere of the naval base or the army camp. But if you're there, you can still live for God. If you drink the liquor in the PX, you're going to face God for it. It's not because the admiral won't suffer because of your sin. You'll suffer because of your sin. Now, I would not advise anybody to go in the armed forces. I mean that. If our country's in trouble, if there's a war going on, let's all join. All of us get in and save this country. But if you are in, I'm not blaming you because you're in. I'm saying if you are in, you can live for God in Great Lakes Naval Base. God is saying, I would rather you not face the temptation that face the truck drivers. I would rather you not have to do that. But if you do drive a truck, you can live for God. You don't have to drink because you drive a truck. You don't have to be immoral because you drive a truck. God says, I wish you didn't have to face all those temptations, but if you face them and yield to them or succumb to them, it is your fault and you will answer to God for your sin. God is saying, I would prefer you to attend a Christian college, and let me say it again, I would not recommend anybody to attend a secular university. I know you folks went to secular universities, and I'm not mad at you. If you don't agree with me, I love you, and I want you to love me. But I, Jack Hiles, would not recommend anybody to attend a secular university. But if you must attend a secular university, you can live for God while you're there. You don't have to subscribe to the activities of the evil one while you're there. You can live for God. God is saying, I would prefer you not to have to work in a godless environment. But if you must work in a secular godless environment, you still can live for God and you'll face God. But face your own sin and responsibility for your sin are yours and not your environment. God is saying, I would rather you be in Howells Anderson College than join the army. But if you are in the army, you're in, you can't do anything about it. you can live for God while you're in the army. Fool you on modern psychology. I said again, nobody owes you anything. Oh, you say, well, my mom and dad didn't take me on vacations. Well, I wouldn't have either. Well, my mom didn't burp me when I had my milk when I was a baby. Now, you listen to me carefully. I'm sick and tired of people blaming. A mother can go in the jaws of death to bring you in this world. Your dad can work day and night to pay the rent and put clothes on your ungrateful back and food in your ungrateful stomach and give you all the necessities and pay your school bill, and you grew up and blame mom and dad because they didn't take you on enough weekend trips. You listen to me. You ungrateful pig. You listen to me. Nobody owes you anything. I said again, if we got what we deserve, I, as you, would burn in hell forever. Anything better than that is for the grace of Almighty God. Jump up and down and say, blessed be God. I'm not going to hell, and quit blaming folks for your sins. Now, don't tell me you can't. I've been there. I was reared in a drunkard's home. I was reared in the ghetto. When I was a lad, I saw my boy, while I was weeping and begging my dad to stay home, step over me and curse me and leave our home for the last time. I've been there. There's not a bus kid in this room whose dad has drunk any more whiskey than my dad did. I say, I've been there. I went because I had to go to a public school. We didn't have Christian schools in those days. I've been there. I unwisely went for a year to a state university. I was there in a state university. I've been there. I spent 2.5 years in the United States paratroopers because a war was on, and I had to go into service, and I stayed in the same barracks with godless, filthy, vulgar, immoral men. But bless God, I got my old King James Bible, put it right there on my footlocker in front of my bed. I got Matthew 6:33 and put it up behind my bed. I'm trying to tell you I've been there. I know what I'm talking about. And you won't convince me that you guys can't live for God at Great Lakes. And you won't convince me that you guys can't live for God driving a truck. And you won't convince me that you kids can't live for God in the ghettos. I wish everybody had a Christian home. I wish everybody could go to a Christian school. I'm saying that's what I want for everybody. But if you don't have that joy, you still can resist the temptation and live for God. I've been there. I had to, in order to go to college, through college, as some of you guys, I had to work with the vilest of men, both blue collar and white collar. I've heard all the words that you heard, all the suggestive thoughts that you've heard. I've heard all the sexual innuendos that you've heard. I've been there. I attended and graduated from a questionable Christian college because I knew nothing about anything else. I attended and graduated from a Christian college that was questionable, but let me say, you can live right in the ghetto. And you can live right in an unchristian home. And you can live right in the Navy. And you can live right in a secular university. And you can live right driving a truck. And you can live right in a godless home. And you can live right in secular employment. And you can live right in the public school. Let me say it for the third time. Nobody owes you anything. And you said with the house, my mother's had to rear me. I haven't had the privileges that some of these kids have had. I wish you had, but that doesn't give you a right to sin. And that doesn't give you a license to sin. And the daddy that forsook you is not going to face God for your sins. You're going to answer to God for your sins yourself. The soul that sinneth, it shall die, he said. You have eaten sour grapes, and your teeth will be on edge. Now, hold it a minute. Before you enroll, enlist, or choose a worldly environment for you or your children, let me tell you that those who do are in the minority. I say you can live for God in a state university, but it's the very few do. I say you can live for God in the adverse circumstances without a Christian school, the public school movement. But you can live for God, but very few do. We are obligated, hear me carefully, we are obligated to place ourselves and our children in the best environment to make it easier for them to live right. Then they are responsible for their sins regardless of their environment. You say, Brother Hiles, you made it in the army. Why can't my son? Tell you why, because I was the only person in my company that made it in the army. I saw Christians fall like bowling pins while I was in the army. I'm saying that every one of those guys is going to face God for his sins, but most of them, in fact, I do not know one single Christian in my outfit that stayed true to his convictions and standards and what he was taught back home. You said, Brother Hiles, you made it as a fundamental Baptist after attending a questionable university and college. Yes, but nobody else did. Not one single Christian with me in Texas University in Arlington, Texas, not one single Christian young man or young lady that I knew stood true. I do not know of a single preacher boy in East Texas Baptist College except my good friend Mel Rutter, who went to heaven a few days ago. The two of us stood in that Christian college, so-called questionable Christian college, we stood. I'm trying to say that if you do have to go to a heathen college, you can stand, but those of you that make it necessary for them to go to the heathen college, you are making a sad mistake. He's with the house. Then his Sunday played for the White Sox and made it. How about the rest of the team? You see, the Bible says the sins of the fathers they visited upon the third and fourth generation. Notice the word visit. Didn't say they live there. And by the way, that verse also says, they visited on those that hate me. If you don't hate him, this is not applicable to you. Conclusion. Hold it, not for the sermon, for this part of the sermon. So ladies, don't put your shoes on yet. Point one, conclusion of this part, God wants you in Canaan. God wants your children in a Christian school. God wants you fellas, unless you've got to go defend your country, God wants you to stay out of the armed forces. Number two, if you can't be there in Canaan, and you must be in Babylon, you can still live right. Number three, you cannot blame anybody for your sins. Number four, you must give an account for your own sin. Your daddy is not why you sin, you're why you sin. Your mama's not why you sin, you're why you sin. Number five, you may suffer because of your parents' sins, but you don't sin because your parents' sins. Yes, they went to Babylon because of the sins of their parents. But God is saying, while you're down there in Babylon with those heathen idolaters, you still can worship the true and living God. And while you're down in Babylon with those liquor-drinking, alcohol-drinking people, you don't have to drink a drop of it. And while you're down in Babylon with a bunch of dope heads, you don't have to take any dope. And while you're in Babylon with a bunch of rock music people, you don't have to listen to stinking rock music. God is simply saying, I don't care where you are, you can't live for God.
Carefully listen to this. I pivot. Likewise, you can backslide sitting on the pews of First Baptist Church in Hammond, Indiana. You can backslide in the classrooms at Howells Anderson College. There were no taverns in the Garden of Eden. There were no dirty magazines in the Garden of Eden. There was not a wrong crowd in the Garden of Eden. And yet sin entered
into its with its ugly venom into mankind. Peter backslid while sitting at the feet of the Master. He had just sat at the table with him. He had just had his feet washed with the lovely hands of Christ. His ears were still ringing with the words, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also." The ears of Peter were still ringing with those immortal words of the Son of God himself. Fresh in his memory was seeing the eyes of blind people opened and deaf ears unstopped. Fresh in his memory is the pool of Bethesda, where a man had been infirm for 38 years, took his bed and walked home. Fresh in his memory was when his own mother-in-law had been healed. Fresh in his memory was the raising of the daughter of Jairus. Fresh in his memory was the opening of the blind eyes of Bartimaeus. Fresh in his memory was the salvation experience of Zacchaeus. Fresh in his memory was the salvation of the woman possessed of seven devils. All of this Peter saw. He walked with him. He talked with him. He heard his voice. He sat with him. He ate with him. He served with him, and yet Peter backslid. Let me tell you something, ladies and gentlemen. Don't you think you can be right with God just because you sit in this building? Aaron had just seen the Jews delivered from Pharaoh when he sinned with the golden calf. Aaron had just seen the waters of the Red Sea parted. Aaron had just seen the wet ground dried miraculously. Aaron had just seen several million Jews walk across that dry ground. Aaron had just seen the Egyptian armies buried in the waters of the Red Sea. Aaron had just seen the pillar of cloud by day and the pillar of fire by night. Aaron had just seen the manna from heaven coming down to give the Jews all the vitamins they needed on their journey across the wilderness. He saw all that. He'd seen the marvelous rod of Moses. He'd seen the miracle. I mean, he just got through, and then he backslid. Let me remind you, Solomon was reared in the home of a man after God's own heart. And yet Solomon became a wicked man. Lot was reared in the home of a man who was called a friend of God. It was immediately after seeing the fire fall on Mount Carmel that Elijah backslid. John Mark chickened out while traveling with Paul and Barnabas. Jacob was reared at the feet of Isaac. Absalom grew up at the feet of King David. Rehoboam was reared by the world's wisest man. Then his Sunday had a boy who broke his heart. And so did Dwight L. Moody. I'm saying tonight two things. One is, if you have the worst of environment, you still can live right. Two is, if you have the best environment, you still got to work at it to live right. You know what I'd hate to be when I stand before God? I'd hate to be a kid that was born while his parents were in this church. Listen to me, kids. I'd hate to be a kid that was put in the nursery a few days old and then went to the beginner department under godly workers and then primaries, went to Sunday school every Sunday, to the world's greatest church, the greatest soul-winning church in the history of America, and sat here in this auditorium where more people have been saved than any other three churches in the history of America. I'd hate to be that kid. Then goes to kindergarten, Hammond Baptist Schools, and then first grade, second, through the Hammond Baptist Grade School, and then through the Hammond Baptist Junior High School, and then through Hammond Baptist High School. I'd hate to be that kid when I stand before God if I didn't turn out right. You listen to me. My Bible says it'd be more tolerable for Sodom and Gomorrah in the days of judgment than for you. You say you didn't say that about me. he said about folks haven't seen what you've seen. Woe unto you, Bethesda! Bethesda, woe unto you, Chorazin! Woe unto you, Tyre! Woe unto you, Sidon! For if Sodom and Gomorrah, that bunch of queers, if they had seen the works that you've seen, they would have repented in sackcloth and ashes. And then he said again, those kids across the street in that Catholic church are not as accountable as you kids who've been here in First Baptist Church Hammond. You've heard an old man for 40 years stand up here and scream and tell you to live right. I've warned you of the wages of sin. I've warned you the devil's a dirty, stinking liar. I've warned you about evil. I've warned you about wasting and wrecking your life. And we have taught you and trained you and taught you and trained you. And God have pity on your soul if you don't turn out right. Very idea. You'd sit here and listen to all you heard and take off to some heathen college and get your education. So you can bounce a basketball. Oh, bully, 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 bully. I want to say a word right here. Our basketball team came in fifth place in our tournament. And I'm not ashamed of them. They're a bunch of good guys. For the most part, we have as spiritual a bunch of guys on our basketball team as we've ever had. And yesterday morning, three of the starting players at least were in my office coming to teenage soul winning after their hearts were broken because they'd lost two games. You give me a kid that goes to teenage soul winning, that loses, comes in fifth place, you can have the first place kid that doesn't. As far as I'm concerned, I'm proud of those kids. The young man sitting right up there led our team in scoring. It's no secret that life has not smiled on him. His dad's not a deacon. He hasn't been reared in a home with a father who loved him and cared for him. His dad has not been to the games to watch him play. But he's going to make it. And I'm proud of him. People come to visit our church. Here's a couple comes to visit. Sit back there and the choir comes in. They don't have their kimonos on. Their robes. They just wear this dumb-looking clothes they got on tonight. Thank God for goodwill. And AMVETs. Praise God from whom all AMVETs flow. Couple sit back here and we start singing. We don't chant some kind of a liturgical number. We sing, whosoever heareth, shout, shout the sound. Spread the blessed tidings all the world around. The choir will sing, we'll sing Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound. And the guy punches his wife in the ribs and says, Zowie, a long time since I've heard this kind of music. That's the kind you used to play back in the hills of Kentucky when I was a boy. I get up and preach. Romp, stomp, beat the pulpit, kick over a few microphones, and the guy punches his wife in the ribs and says, Zowie, I ain't heard preaching like that since old Reverend Zeke, son of Reverend Zeb, preached down in Slippery Rock, Tennessee, Waxahachie, Texas, or Mule Shoe, Texas. The invitation's given. Folks start streaming down the aisle. He punched his wife in the ribs. They're getting quite sore by now. Zowie, I haven't seen anything like that since Billy Sunday campaigns years ago. We start baptizing. He punched his wife in the ribs. Says, Zowie, look at all those folks getting baptized. They go home at lunch table. He said, you know what I think we ought to do? I think we ought to join that church. This is a good idea. They come down the next Sunday morning and join. Now listen carefully. I can tell you dozens of cases where they sit back in the pews and think that they have become insulated against the devil's attacks. They let their guard down. Why? We're in the millennium now. No, you're not. You're in the tribulation. all across the country where I preach. People come to me and say, it's my dream someday to just visit First Baptist Church of Hammond. And while you sit there and misbehave, you ought to know how many millions of people love to sit where you sit so they could listen. And I tell them about pastor school. And so they come to pastor school. And boy, they love it here. They'll come on Sunday before, stay the Sunday after. Wow. They go back home. He says to her, let's move to Hammond. Isn't long, they pack up their stuff and move to Hammond. And somehow it's easy to think you don't have to pray anymore. Because we are here in Eden. It was in Eden where the devil made his first appearance on earth. It'll be at the end of the millennium when the devil will come back and be loose for a little season and cause more and cause a war. So there's no guarantee that the right atmosphere will always bring forth good fruit. And there's no guarantee that the wrong atmosphere will always bring forth bad fruit. It is simply the law of average. In conclusion, if you're here tonight and you're at the naval base, and you're on the road driving a truck, or you have to go to a heathen school, or if you're a bus kid being reared in a godless home, mom and dad don't even know where you are tonight, maybe. Let me remind you that you can live right. You don't have to sin. And you can't blame mom and dad if you do. For your decision to sin was your decision. And you willed to sin. You chose to sin. It may be easier for you than somebody else, but the choice is yours nevertheless. If you're here tonight and you have a godly home and you go to a good Christian school or you go to Hiles Anderson College, let me remind you that you're far more responsible for the way you live than these people that have not had these privileges. Let's put it this way. You kids that go to Hammond Baptist High School, you dead sure better turn out better than those kids that go to City Baptist High School. And I say in closing also, to you moms and dads who've done your best, sure you made some mistakes because you happen to be human, but you've done your best. And I live with it every week of my life. And yet some child has broken your heart. Don't you think you failed? You may have made some mistakes, but you are not a failure. Let me remind you that even Jesus himself had 1 out of 12 that didn't turn out too well. Let me also remind you that you are not going to be accountable for the sins of your children. Let me remind you they may suffer because of you, but they won't sin because of you. The Jews were in Babylon because their fathers, but they did not sin because their fathers. So strip away your excuses. Cancel your trip to the psychiatrist. Unless you go down and tell him he's a liar. I'll pay for it. If you do that, I'll pay for it. When he says, lay down on the couch. If I did, I'd be snoring in 3 minutes. You'll learn more dreaming than you will from him.
Well, how many hours a week did your daddy work? Did your mama serve you vegetables? How clean was the house? How many bathrooms did you have in the house? Was your mother a blonde?
That would be a handicap.
Did your father sleep on the couch at night?
That's exactly what those Jews were saying.
We're down here in Babylon. We have to sin because our daddy's.
It's not daddy's fault. If you don't turn out right,
it's your fault. Father, it's hard to preach this sermon because I find myself almost recommending Babylon.